Hello, and welcome back to AgTech Talk. Today we're talking with Clark Bell, CEO of NanoYield, which was once known as AquaYield. The name change, Clark tells us, is a reflection of the company's move to an international audience. We'll let him talk a little bit more about that in a bit. NanoYield delivers fertilizer using nanoliquid particles. Just to give you an idea of what a nanoparticle is, the particles that they use are between 10 nanometers and 100 nanometers. To let you know how small that is, a blade of grass has a diameter of about a million nanometers. So we're talking some pretty small stuff. The difference between NanoYield product is that the fertilizer is delivered through endocytosis as opposed to diffusion through the cell walls. That's pretty technical stuff, and you can certainly learn more about that on their website. But today we wanted to talk a little bit about NanoYield and what they're doing and how their business has changed and what it offers growers. The other thing that has recently happened is that Clark Bell was named a Mountain West Award finalist as Entrepreneur of the Year for 2023 by Ernst & Young, otherwise known as EY. That happened sort of after the interview was done, but before we recorded this intro. So we won't be talking about that too much on the podcast, but we wanted to let you know that that was something that Clark has received, and the company has gotten that recognition. So now let's just jump into it. Welcome, Clark. We appreciate your being here.
Well, I guess it's not AquaYield anymore. It's now NanoYield. Can you talk to me about what's involved there?
Yeah. So AquaYield is our U.S. and Canada brand for all of our liquid, nanoliquid technology products. We now have an international footprint and primarily focusing on Latin America. And AquaYield, you know, does not resonate as well as NanoYield. And we see that on the U.S. and Canada side. Oftentimes people hear AquaYield and they think we're like an irrigation system company or something like that. We optimize their water to get better yield, which, I mean, of course, that's what they think. NanoYield is the parent brand. Then we have AquaYield, which is our U.S. and Canada brand. Then we have NanoYield International, which is essentially our AquaYield products that we developed that are now being sold on an international basis. Then we have a brand that's called Turf Nanotech, which is our formulas for the golf, sports turf, managed turf arenas. That's new. We literally just launched that last month, and it's really started to take off. We're excited about that. And then we have a brand that's called NLT 5000, which is essentially we sell our nanoliquid concentrate to other manufacturers so that they can have the power of our nanoliquid products to improve all of their different formulas and chemicals for better uptake and efficiencies. So that encompasses what is NanoYield.
How many different countries are you in right now?
We are in 10 now. We actually just inked a deal with Bangladesh, which, you know, we should talk about, you know, maybe if you guys are interested in that release. But now 10 countries. So
at one point you talked about you wouldn't layer it as it or define it as a, you know, something that would cure citrus greening, that kind of thing. I know you had a solution that has sort of helped that process. But what else is it that your products, that your solutions offer to folks?
Yeah. I think the claims are first and foremost, fertilizers and chemistries have some inefficiencies and they can be corrected by different compounds. By adding 4 ounces of nanoliquid technology into a spray tank, we can improve the uptake or the absorption of different fertilizer molecules or synthetic chemistries uptake or even biologicals. And so that's where we fit in the industry is people are trying to get more out of their tank. And so they add nanoliquid technology to improve with uptake and better absorption to improve quality and yields. There's opportunities where people can use less material applied due to nanoliquid technology. So in some areas like Bangladesh, for instance, where supply is a major issue and access, they don't manufacture any of it domestically. It's all brought in. And so they're limited with how much they can get in. So we're answering, you know, a problem for them. And also in other, you know, countries that we're having access to, or, you know, we are addressing things like corn and soybeans on broad acres in the U.S., where you know they're where the grain's trading, it's very profitable. That if they can get more yield and more quality, you know, they'll spend $5 on nanoliquid technology an acre, and they can see a minimum of four times return on investment by throwing that in there. So we kind of essentially just make it so that we improve the performance of whatever they've already been using on their farm to get better output.
We've been hearing a lot about the fertilizer prices just shooting through the roof. And I think anything that would increase yield and not cost them an arm and a leg, or better use what they do have on their fields, would certainly be appreciated. Have you seen any kind of feedback from growers, that your products are something that has been able to help them that way?
Yeah, certainly. We've been doing this for 9 years, but essentially since the pandemic, that's when where things took off. One of that, is it just takes time in the marketplace to prove your science, right? And they have a lot of data. And so that was kind of a inflection point for us, as we had, we're up to like 800 trials now that we can showcase an ROI and efficiency now. But second to that is also the timing of the market, which is oftentimes the number one iteration of how a technology is adopted, is if you time the market right. And when we first came up with this concept in 2014, urea wasn't, had increased by three times, year over year. And so when we go into 2021 and 2022, with those issues with MAP and DAP and urea, and, essentially all the commodity fertilizers are just so darn expensive, we've been able to answer that problem for people. And again, one of the benefits of what we do is we can just either improve the performance of what you're already using, or in some instances, there can be reductions unless material can be applied by using nanoliquid technology.
Can you give me the elevator speech version of exactly what your technology does for someone, for a layman who doesn't really understand the technical points of how it works?
Yeah. We were at a start of a war this last weekend. And so I was talking to a group of tech and software people that don't understand ag. And so in simple terms, NanoYield sells a sustainable fertilizer technology that improves the absorption of fertilizers and chemicals when applied to crops.
How does it do that?
The way that takes place is by adding nanoparticles into a tank that helps the different molecules and chemicals that are in that tank, where oftentimes they don't have a good delivery system to be delivered to those tissues or leaves or into the root systems. And by using the nanoliquid technology, those nanoparticles now encapsulate and deliver those chemicals and fertilizers so that there's a better uptake and there's an efficiency way that all comes into place.
And it's the specific technology that you've created is the way to encapsulate nutrients, the fertilizers, and that's what allows it to get into the plant more efficiently.
Yeah, you got it. So farmer has X and Y of ag inputs that he puts out, and he knows that works on his crop. And over time, the way that his crop metabolizes ag inputs, or over time, his soil has changed. And so they're looking for different ways that they can get their crop to have a better result, whether by yield or quality, or by optimizing their current way of putting out those ag inputs. And nanoliquid technology creates that opportunity for them and makes it so that they can have a game changer.
Now, is it just the delivery solution that you're offering, or is it, like you mentioned, soil may change over time? Do you offer like a soil analysis, or is that something that's separate from what you offer? as well?
Yeah. The agronomic team, they're going to look at a myriad of factors. You know, what's the genetic you're using to, what's the soil composition to even, you know, what's your water issues, right? So, I mean, to have a leading agriculture technology, you have to understand everything that's happening at this farm. You know, you can't just show up and say, put this in your tank and your Roundup's going to be better. I mean, we can do that, but why is your Roundup not performing as well? Is because of the pH of your water? Is it because of, you know, how are you conditioning your tank? Are there other inputs that are being put in there? So there's a lot of puzzles that you need to put together on this jigsaw to make it all fit. And so we certainly look at, you know, their soil analysis, look at the befores and afters of their, you know, of their CECs or their organic matter, or how much crop is actually being, you know, delivered after it's been applied with ours. And what we consistently see when people use our technology is that we are able to deliver, let's just talk fertilizer, we're constantly able to deliver more payload of nutrition to a crop. And that's done because the nano liquid technology just encapsulates those nutrients and makes it so that there's just better uptake to that crop when it's introduced.
I mean, this doesn't matter whether it's a row crop or a specialty crop. I mean, you can sort of translate, this translates across different kinds of different crops, right?
Yeah, cannabis to corn to cantaloupe, we've seen a benefit. You know, some crops, they respond better at certain types of seasons. You know, agronomy is very complicated, but there's a case to be made that when you use nanoliquid technology, it's going to add some benefit for you. I mean, that's been third-party verified. And also, you know, with this, almost doing this 10 years now, I think people realize, you know, it's about a 10-year proving ground, I feel like, for, you know, for ag inputs, for startups like us. And I think we're overcome that threshold. And that's why we're seeing the inflection of growth and the adoption we're seeing now.
What's next? I mean, is there other technology on the horizon here that we're going to see in the next couple of years? Or
Yep. We're not resting on our laurels. We've got an amazing innovation team led by Dr. Mark Slavens, our chief innovation officer. We've got some interesting things that we have other nanoparticles that can help with drought situations, so that can make, you know, water absorption improved when it's introduced to the soil. So that's exciting. We have specific nanoparticles that are going to be tuned better for crop chemistries. So specific ag, you know, ag herbicides and pesticides and insecticides. Right now, we just have one product that's called NanoPro that encompasses everything. We've got some nanoparticles we've tuned that are going to do better there. We have seed coating technology that's looking very promising. That's one that we just kind of stumbled into. So our current nanoparticle technology stack is addressing that, but we're tuning nanoparticles that are going to make it so that essentially that seed can be coated with better nanoparticles to put more nutrition on that seed. It will, you know, perform better once it's planted in the rhizosphere, so on and so forth. And then the I guess kind of the final frontier for us is we are seeing with granular fertilizers, we have a coating for them that's going to improve the uptake, and we're still in pretty early stages of that. But we've, you know, we filed the patents and are excited about where that's going. But that fundamentally changes the way we view our business and think about things, because with liquid, you know, you're talking 8 to 9% of the addressable agricultural acres on, you know, on the earth. Now with the granular side of things, now we can really help all farmers in every country on every application. And we're tremendously excited.
Right. Sounds like a pretty ambitious, you know, project you've got going there.
Yeah, man. It's, we're investing a lot into it. But we look at ag inputs, and there's just been a tremendous amount of advancements that we've made with improving crop protection. And then you look at the biological wave and all the biostimulants. There's just been a tremendous amount of R&D that's taken place there. And yes, can biologicals replace genetics? Can we come up with biologicals that can replace urea? That's, you know, that's great. But the fact of the matter is granular really is, to me, the final frontier, because it makes it so that you can address all farming applications. And for us, we want to be able to have a nanoliquid technology can be applied, you know, whether it's liquid or granular, it can be applied every time that a crop needs a response from a nutrient or from a crop protection.
Is the thought, you know, being able when does that granular, or when do you see that maybe being available? I mean, I know it's
we had a lot of great field work this past in 2022. We're now replicating that with a number of third parties and investing pretty deep into that to make sure that what we saw will continue to work on a myriad of different crops and nutrient types. And then I think we'll do a slow release to it in 2024. And then I think we'll really roll it out big in 2025. You know, we want to be careful to make sure that the technology continues to perform and work in the manner that we've seen.
And again, I see the thought then that growers will be able to use, you know, less fertilizer, so we'll save money there. It'll be more efficient, so they'll get a better yield. I mean, the same.
Yeah. Based off of our research and all the people that I've met with over the years, the idea of using less liquids is enticing to people, but it's not as the value proposition isn't as strong. Everybody that works with dry materials, they dislike it. From manufacturing to application, it's an antiquated technology. We have a system where we have to rely on that, on those granular products to feed the world. But there has to be ways to improve that. And we believe that, yeah, we have a mousetrap that'll make it so that we can have it so that people can apply less granular, and with our coating, essentially get the same nutrient uptake by that delivery system.
Good. So lots of promising technology and solutions for folks out there in the next couple of years. We're going to be hearing a lot more about this, I would imagine.
I hope so. Yeah. I mean, we've got a brilliant team, and we've got what we believe is a really good vision and strategy. But of course, we got to execute, and at the end of the day, got to work for the farmer. And if it doesn't work for the farmer, then, you know, what the heck are we doing? So we've got to continue to deliver on our promise to them. And, if we can't grow their bottom line, and if we can't make it easy for them to use, then what are we doing here? And we feel like we're doing answering those two things.
Yeah, I think, I've heard it's been said many times, you know, even if the technology is good and sustainable, you know, everybody's, you know, well, you know, I don't think everybody's going to argue that sustainability is a good thing.
Yeah.
The solution, though, is if you're not going to manage the money or increase their yield, it's going to cost them money, they're not going to do it. That science, and the technology and the proof, right? You know, the yield tests are what you need to convince growers to adopt these technologies.
Yeah, I mean, I would just say, when you look at what the industry is trying to do with biologicals and biostimulants, there has to be a recognition that we have a lot of these plants that a lot of the leading ag retailers and manufacturers, they've invested billions of dollars into, and they all want to become more sustainable, but they don't want to completely halt their production lines, right? And so that's where we're confident that with our offering, it's unique enough that it can attract from the manufacturer all the way down to the farmer level, so to something different.
Do you work with any of the fertilizer providers, or is it, do you not need to? You just need to work with the grower, and certainly you don't need to work with any of those the providers themselves.
Yeah. The company went from being essentially grower direct, and we did that so that we could get the data, to then working with family seed dealers to then independent ag retailers. To now, if you were to look at the Crop Life 100, I think we're, working with 25 to 30 of them now, and either they're selling product or they're proving the product on their ground. So that we're confident about that direction, where that's going. The next iteration is, we're in collaboration with 35 leading, fertilizer or chemical, manufacturers. And so with our product that we call NLT 5000, we feel like we're entering the sustainability issues that some of them face with the use of nanoliquid technology, and or helping them get just better performance out of what they have. And, you know, a key element is you don't want the label, you know, you don't want to change the MSDS. That's going to be hard. And, you know, when they're in 60 plus countries, you know, if you can add something like ours that is literally ounces, we can make it so that works for them. And so that's been something that we're working with them, and we'll see how that all comes together.
What else do we need to know?
Yeah, I think a couple of things I would point out to people, you know, with any new technology, you know, you can go to the company's website and you can see what's great about them. But, you know, if you look at like the work we've done with Bex Hybrids or PTI, you know, that's where I think people can actually see that, you know, what this CEO tech startup guy is actually saying is actually truth. So, you know, I'd recommend to people, you know, always when you're looking at something, look at any third party validation. And, you know, for us, we have that, and that's been beneficial for us. So I invite people to do that. And then secondly, I mean, we will demo product with anyone that wants to give it a try. You know, we make it very, make it very easy so that there's not friction of, you know, exchanging of cash. You know, we'll give you product, you can try it out. We'll even follow through and see, make it so that you don't have to actually go out and walk on the field. We'll actually document it for you. So, you know, we've made it so, we believe we made it so that makes it a lot easier for a farmer to adopt it. And we're proud of that. And hopefully whoever might listen to this, if they have an interest, we'll get in their hands. And we believe that the promise of nanoliquid technology will be beneficial for them.
How quickly is that turnaround? I mean, how quickly can they see that about it? Is it just a growing season or?
Yeah, if it's crop protection, generally, you know, with a herbicide or a pesticide, you know, you can see something 3 to 2 weeks, right? Generally, you can see if the control is there. They, of course, want to see it through yield. Through a season. Nutrients, it's kind of the same thing. It's either a couple of weeks to see if the absorption of that nitrogen performed better than, you know, our standard way. But generally with nutrition, that's a season long way of seeing what the yield and quality difference was. The EPA and the USDA in 2021 awarded us with the Next Gen Fertilizer Innovation Challenge winner. So that also was another inflection, Dan, that certainly helped us with timing of the market, and also, you know, with the USDA and EPA saying that, you know, these crazy guys from Utah actually have something that's working. So,
tell me a little bit more about that. What was this the new technology why I'm sure there's lots of new technologies out there all the time. Why what was it about your solution that they liked?
Yeah, the Next Gen Fertilizer Innovation Challenge was a collaboration between the Soybean Association, the Fertilizer Institute, USDA, EPA, and there's probably another couple agencies or associations I'm not addressing. But they literally, after the pandemic, realized the way that we're manufacturing our fertilizers domestically, we need to have some improvements there. You know, we saw the issue supply chain. You know, we've seen our reliance on other countries, how that's been an issue for us, you know, and that's led us to the commodity fertilizer prices we've had. So they asked for submissions of upcoming tech startup ag input companies, all the way to established companies like Saubic and Yara, who are part of this, to showcase what your technology is and what promise it has. And so out of, I believe it was over 800 submissions, they selected tier one, tier two, and tier three winners. So the tier one winners were us and another a technology. And that was essentially by us showcasing that we can just make, we can make fertilizer perform better just by, you know, by utilizing nanoliquid technology in a tank. So they're going to go out and spray X amount of acres with X amount of, you know, pounds of NPK by adding us at 4 ounces to the acre. There's an improvement in uptake, and we see yield and quality results that come from that because we've been added to that tank. So that's the quick basis of it. So
it's a pretty nice endorsement when you get that from those organizations that you mentioned.
Yeah, you know, I mean, hell, Dan, I mean, my two biggest fears with bringing this technology was, one, that people were going to cast us that we're going to be like a GMO, and then automatically people would be like, oh, I'm not going to buy you know, a food that's had nano on it, which, you know, our nanoparticles are derived from the earth. So, I mean, it's not an issue, but that's always there, right? The message and people, the way they look at it. And the second one was that, you know, the EPA would just say, we're not comfortable with nanoparticles. We don't have like an exact place where this is going to be used in the industry. So we're just going to shut you down. And so when the endorsement got there from them, it was like, okay. So they actually think what we're doing is good. You know, we see that we're doing good, but you just never know, you know, what the industry or the, you know, the government's going to think. So it was a good nod for sure.
I mean, you know, yeah, if you have genetic anywhere in your yeah. Thought for, you know, your messaging, I guess, people are going to get a little scared about it. So I could see where you'd be concerned about that for sure.
Yeah.
I don't know. No, that's exciting. It's interesting. It'll be interesting to see how this takes off in different places around the world. Are there any particular areas that have seen a really strong? You mentioned Bangladesh, but are there other areas that are like up and coming emerging markets as they were?
Yeah, we're really close to showcasing success in India. We're fishing out the second season there, and that'll be a head turner when that's announced. So we'll definitely keep you updated about that. Big player that's seen good results. We're excited about that. Other ones have been, you know, Peru, Guatemala, Costa Rica, Chile is one that we're seeing really good results with, from everything from broadacre to specialty acre crops. So we're really kind of our emphasis right now is on LATAM and then India and Bangladesh, because we look at the issues that they face when it comes to supply constraints, and also just and also what's beneficial is, you know, their growing seasons, how you can get one or two, and how that can, you know, make it so that you can learn more about your technology in a faster period of time. So that's what went there. And Marco Garrado, our VP of International, he's just doing a fantastic job. He's actually in Costa Rica right now, meeting with one of the largest growers over there, and they're really excited about the potential, what we can do with, you know, pineapples and bananas. So yeah, that's kind of where we're putting our chips on the table right now.
You know, you mentioned India. You know, obviously enormous market. You know, tens of thousands of farmers, but they tend to be on the smaller side. You know, is there maybe we should talk about this a little bit? Is there a particular size farm? Does it matter what size farm it has for it to become economically beneficial?
Yeah, we have collaboration with a couple different organizations, and both of them, they work with growers that work on half of acre up to, you know, hundreds of acres, and hundreds of acres that's a big farm in India, right? We found that the technology is benefiting both sides over in India.
I think I've exhausted most of the questions, at least for right now. I appreciate your time. Again, is there any other thoughts that you have that I didn't ask about, or we should?
Dan, I think we covered all of them, and one, just thank you for the opportunity to talk about what we're doing and, you know, showcase why we're different and, you know, why we have a right to win. We're excited about the future, and, you know, hopefully your viewers or listeners or whomever, however they consume this, they'll see something, you know, from this interview that'll make them, you know, rethink some things and think if it's an option for them to consider. So,
well, if somebody does read this or listen to this, I should say, and want to find out more about it, where should they go? What should they do?
Yeah, and this would be, I guess, on the international side. So I would invite them to go to nano-yield.com, and they can just reach out to us, or of course they can just email me direct, Clark@nano-yield.com, and we'll get them taken care of. So,
very much for your time.
Yeah, thanks, Deb.
Thanks for being with us today, Clark. We appreciate your time and insights. And also to our audience, thanks for listening. Feel free to join us in a couple of weeks when we interview Rob Tiffany, consultant, speaker, and guru of Internet of Things. He will talk to us about how IoT is going to change the way agriculture works. Take care, everybody. We'll talk to you soon again.